Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon Delight.
Hour number four on a Monday. Beavers, beavers, and more beavers today. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling is producing. No, we're not talking Oregon State football in our Horn Top 20. That'd be silly. We're talking Stanford at number 15. But just now in the crap bag, I talked about Oregon State and the fact that they're going to a retro beaver logo for one of their games. Then I talked about the fact that Dallas Braden has a birthday. He went to American River College. Trey looked up that American River College's mascot is the beaver. God. And I've just tweeted out their logo that Trey found. Now, Kevin, you got to get on Twitter and click on this bad boy.
Oh, I saw it. I see it right now.
That's a good look. I think Oregon State and others who carry the beaver moniker need to be looking at that. That is a good, mean-looking beaver, and it's hard to do. It's hard to make a beaver look cool or mean, right?
Yeah.
And they do.
Well, like I said, I mean, they are destructive.
They do a decent job, right? And that's a good, mischievous-looking beaver. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I like the eyes. Got the buck teeth. It's working.
Yeah, I like it. So, shout out to American River College, and also a little time at Texas Tech for Dallas Braden. All right, 6 o'clock hour. No massive stories breaking today. The Urban Meyer story takes a little bit of a, not turn, but I guess a little development as the word getting out about more stuff that Zach Smith had going on in the past, like a DUI arrest in 2013, but he claims he kept it secret from Urban Meyer. So that committee is going to meet with Zach Smith at some point. They've already met with Courtney Smith, and they should be done around by Sunday, and then we'll find out what happens there. Obviously, we've talked some Stanford football. They're our number 15 team in the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive. And, of course, we've talked Texas football, 19 days out from Texas and Maryland, three injuries on the defensive side. Deli Adeoye, Devontae Davis, DeMarvion Overshown. No updates on how those guys are doing.
Couple things in baseball. Things continue to get worse for the Yankees. CC Sabathia is on the DL with knee inflammation. His knee's been bothering him all year. Chapman's knee is bothering him. What, they're nine and a half out? I mean, at this point, you just hope to hang on to a wild card spot and hope that you can get Judge back, hope you can get Sanchez back, and get them going a little bit. But tonight, hell of a matchup. Let's start right now on ESPN, DeGrom and Severino.
Yeah, I knew you'd seen that. I want to make sure we said that a couple times today. I last night and watching the end of the Cubs game, Vaz Gersian said that, and I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
Because there's not much that could get me excited about the Mets side of the Subway Series right now. But
that would be it.
One of those two guys, right? If one of those two is pitching, and then obviously you get Severino, that's nasty stuff. That's tonight at 6 o'clock. It's just right now getting started on ESPN.
Yeah, and the question with Severino is, like it is with a lot of these guys, the Braves have a lot of young pitchers. Are they kind of hitting that wall?
Mm-hmm.
And how much do they have left in them? Severino, I think, looked like he got back on track, I believe, a start or two ago, but he's not been the same guy in the second half. It's not as drastic as like a John Lester that I said earlier, and I think Severino is going to be fine long term, but he could be hitting that wall a little bit.
A question I've never thought of till now, but I know obviously in basketball, when you go from college to the pros, you increase the number of games so much right away. In terms of the minors, they go about 140, 150, though, don't they? I mean, they still play a decent number of games.
They do, but you're also managing innings more. I mean, Minor league baseball is not about winning.
Right.
And we know that. I mean, you can still go out there and have a lot of fun, but that's maybe third, fourth, sometimes fifth on the list, which is why you'll see guys go out there and it's like, this guy's got one of the best cutters in pro baseball. Why is he only throwing his curveball here? Because he's working on it.
Right.
You know, this is about working and developing. We talk about, use that word so much. So I haven't seen his what his top innings were ever, but I'm assuming he's going to hit that spot.
So now he's coming to that time where he's going over any kind of number he would have had in the minors.
Probably.
Yeah. Severino and DeGrom
tonight.
He's
been in the bigs for 2 years, so.
Right, yeah. So Mets and Yankees tonight at 6 o'clock. They're just getting going right now. What do you make of this DJ Durkin story in Maryland? Do you look into this thing at all?
Yeah, I did, and it just started to land whenever we were on the air, maybe 5 o'clock hour on Friday. So, I mean, okay. It's not like I could really read into it on the air and get into it. I do think that as society has gotten softer, we can witch hunt a little bit too much. I'm not sure that's the case here. And there seemed to be some things that were borderline and you shouldn't get fired for. And some things that, I could very easily see costing him his job. The throwing weights and stuff like that, it seemed to kind of take that a little too far, right?
It's what it felt like to me when I read through it. So he's on administrative leave. And, of course, this is a little extra important around here for our purposes because Texas plays Maryland in the first game. So DJ Durkin is their head coach. He's on administrative leave. You see who the coach is that takes over? Kind of a weird, interesting name from the past.
Give me a hint.
I
did not, to answer your question.
LSU.
LSU, Matt Canada.
Very good.
He's their OC.
Right. So he now is their interim coach until they figure this out. So they're doing an investigation back in May, and you may remember this story. It was a horrible story. Jordan McNair was a young offensive lineman for them. I think the kid was 19. He collapses on May 29th, ends up dying on June 13th, and then after that, there's this, the story that's come out. It's all anonymous comments, but it's from current and former players and coaches that are commenting on the culture that they had built and the culture that DJ Durkin had at Maryland and why it might have been detrimental and why it might have led to this kid dying.
Yeah, and it's finding that right balance, which can be tough, but you go into a school like Maryland and you wonder how much football matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to get the seriousness level of the players in that program to the Alabamas of the world. Texas is trying to do the same thing here. You're always chasing that, but it's about finding it, how can you do that without some of these shenanigans?
Right. They're
and actually take back the shenanigans with a kid dying. That's the heart of the story for me.
Specifically, they're going to need to look into the day of the collapse, and they're going to need to prove that this didn't happen. There are multiple ideas that he collapsed at 5 o'clock and they didn't call an ambulance till like almost an hour later, stuff like that. There are some stories people have told of guys that have passed out being made fun of, like guys that have literally passed out being yelled at for passing out at practice or something. So
okay, and that's some of that gray area.
No, I know, and they're going to need to look in those situations and find out what it was. But nowadays, if you have a guy that literally goes unconscious at your practice, your response probably shouldn't be ripping the guy. You know, rip into the guy. Oh, he's just a wuss. That's probably shouldn't be your first reaction. The story of, you're a coach sitting next to a player that needs to gain weight and you literally make him eat till he throws up it's all these weird little stories where it's like, have you
psychological warfare? I mean, they're trying to toughen him up.
Right. No. And that's what, and you mentioned it. It's that line of where does the line exist between you're just trying to get a good tough football team and you're into hazing, essentially. You've walked into that line of hazing these guys. So they're going
to
check into
it. Did you listen to Casey on Saturday?
I did not.
Casey's like, hazing happens. It's going to happen. Casey, I thought Casey had a pretty good take on it.
It's just a strange story. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But he is on administrative leave. In this day and age, it does, like you said earlier, you want to immediately say, hey, is it too soft? Is it PC? Is it all that stuff?
Well, knowing what this world is, a strength and conditioning coach is going to talk to you differently than in a football coach than almost everyone in your life.
Right.
You understand that.
But in this case, when all these reactions are coming from the inside, like to me, when a kid dies like this, there's two reactions. One could be a circle the wagons family reaction of, oh my God, I can't believe this happened and it's awful and it's terrible and everybody moves on. But this feels like there were people inside whispering right after it happened of, man, the system created this.
Right.
Is it too strong a reaction?
Yeah, but some of that could be someone who's being legitimate. Someone could have a beef.
Yeah.
An ex-coach, an ex-player.
Could be. They've also suspended strength and conditioning and a couple of the managers or trainers or something.
Yeah, I'd be shocked figuring it out. If the strength and conditioning guy survives.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Durkin is fired for this. Probably suspended, but we have to kind of wait and see how all this goes. It's going to come down to the kid's death.
Right. There's going to be, yeah, how did they handle that? Right. How did they handle it?
Not the fat kid that had to eat.
Right.
A la, what's that military movie?
Was that Full Metal Jacket?
Full Metal Jacket,
was that,
yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, so...
That guy blew his head off at the end.
Yeah, those...
I mean, it's fake character, but...
Spoiler alert.
Oh, man.
They may not have seen
it. Just came
Full
out a couple
Metal
months
Jacket.
Ago. You're right.
First 45 minutes of Full Metal Jacket is fantastic. It kind of falls off after that, because where else do you go?
Right. It was such a 45-minute packed version.
Oh, God. That first about hour or so is incredible. All right. So that story continues. DJ Durkin also on administrative leave. Two coaches in the Big Ten. Yes, Maryland is in the Big Ten. We have to remind ourselves all the time, too. DJ Durkin is in the middle of an investigation, just like Urban Meyer is. Hope you're having a great Monday. We come off of the weekend, 19 days until Texas plays Maryland. So in terms of these injuries, Trey, we haven't gotten your thoughts on these injuries today. Where's your what's your concern level on these injuries this weekend? The Adeoye, Overshown. I mean, Davis is one thing because it's a defensive backfield that maybe you feel good about, but more concern at linebacker. What happens now?
Even the Davis injury, despite the fact that the secondary has pretty good depth, if there's an exception, it's maybe at the cornerback position now. Kobe Voice and Anthony Cook may very well be able to do good jobs as that cornerback number two. That remains to be seen. But Devontae Davis's injury shouldn't be taken lightly here. I mean, cornerbacks of every position on the football field probably have the hardest time returning to full health from a hamstring injury, considering how many full-speed movements you're having to do each and every play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the concern, obviously, is with the linebackers, where you're already seeing a group that was being backed up by true freshmen at each and every position last week. When we had Jeff Howe on the show, we were talking about that with Adeoye in the middle. You also had Overshown and then Joseph Asai as well. So the unit is already very thin. I'm not going to be surprised at this point to see the Texas defense in 2018 shift to more four down lineman looks. That front four or front three as it is right now has a ton of depth, a ton of guys who not only can get the job done at any of those three positions, but guys who have been in the program for long enough now that adding that extra man to the front is going to alleviate some of the pressure that is being dealt with in the linebacker core right now.
And let's not forget, I know he's out for the first half, but Anthony Wheeler is going to have to be a part of this linebacking core, and
yes,
is going to have to play his best football senior year.
And yeah, I would imagine that if you see Gary Johnson miss any time for that stinger, which right now it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. He was back at practice this weekend. If for whatever reason he re-aggravates that at some point during the year, you'll see Wheeler slide over to Gary Johnson's position, and Malcolm Roach will go into the middle.
Yeah, Wheeler, and I was just thinking the same thing. They've obviously got to figure out the first two quarters of that game without him, but then starting at that point moving forward, you would expect Anthony Wheeler's there and ready to roll.
Yeah, and I like what Trey said too, and one of the things that Jeff Howe talked about last week was the versatility that Roach brings, and that just proves it right there, that you can shift Wheeler over, Roach can take that spot. His versatility is going to be huge. In fact, Jeff said last week, I think Trey and I were under the impression that Gary Johnson may be the most valuable and important guy on this defense. He thinks Roach is because of that versatility.
Interesting. Love Roach. I love the idea of what he can become. And yeah, that feels like versatility is what they're going to need right now. That's what they were trying to do with DeMarvion Overshown. They were trying to use a little bit of his versatility to get him to linebacker, and then he gets banged up.
But I'm glad Trey brought that up, because I was thinking about it earlier. I thought, you know, I wonder if Orlando has any problem going to more four down looks. Because if you look at the personnel right now, I would four down and maybe even six DBs with one backer.
Nah.
I mean, in certain positions, you may not be wrong about that. And good coordinators understand how to work with the personnel at their disposal. That's why I think Orlando ultimately will look at more four-man fronts, especially because three of his first five opponents really like to run the football between the tackles.
Yep.
The old 4-1-6.
Oh, 4-1-6. I love that, baby.
Yeah. All right, let's have Trey tell you a little bit about one of my favorite game day activities, and that's Coors Light.
Yeah, of course, guys. The Texas football season gets going in less than 3 weeks. I'm excited for a lot of reasons, including the fact that I know I'll be watching that season opener against Maryland at home with a bunch of cold Coors Light in hand. That's because Coors Light is the official domestic beer for Texas Longhorn football, and Coors Light is the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light was established in 1978. It was born in the Rocky Mountains, a place of endless exploration. That's where a new discovery lies around every corner and at every mountaintop as well. Coors Light is lagered cold for a lighter, crisper taste, filtered cold to ensure brilliance, clarity, and brightness, and packaged cold for peak refreshment. And make sure, guys, if we're planning on having a few Coors Lights tonight, or any beer for that matter, make sure that game plan includes drinking responsibly. Use a designated driver or take public transportation. Take the pledge to get home safe. Together we can all enjoy the game, prevent drunk driving, and keep our community safe. With great beer comes great responsibility. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
He's already gotten lit up here.
What's that?
Not Trey with the Coors Lights. Severino. Already given up a run and two
is that
hits.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mets getting to Severino. Well, yeah. it's because my Texas Rangers, you know, loosened the Yankees up over the weekend.
You wore them out.
It takes a lot.
You wore them out.
It takes a little out of you when you win 3 out of 4 over the Rangers.
How do you think Sonny Gray is dealing with things right now? Sonny Gray is now having to come out of the bullpen in that bandbox, and that whole stadium's in his head. I don't think Sonny Gray is as good as maybe people thought when he was coming over from Oakland anyway, but now he's just coming out of the bullpen, you know. And that's a guy, too, that I think if you're Texas or if you're other people, you think, let's give him a fresh start somewhere.
Yeah.
Chad's like,
yes,
I would take Sonny Gray, Kevin. I would.
I like that idea.
2-0 now, Mets.
A whole lot. Wow, Mets jumping on the Yankees early on. 2-0 already in, was that just still in the first? Top first? Getting to him early.
Even with the Yankees lineup, you're thinking, that could be enough.
We'll keep you up to date on that one as the Subway Series is going on. A little interleague play there. Also interleague play with the Rangers. Arizona at Texas is a 7:05 start tonight, and that is Bartolo Colon on the hill for the Rangers. We will get you some more in the Big Three. A few stories floating around today as we are a little closer to football season. A couple of weird stories involving coaches in football. And also the Brooks Koepka moment at the PGA. A lot of talk about Tiger, but Brooks made his own set of put his own part in history over the weekend as well. We'll reiterate that for you. Also, a little note for you, Cowboys and Rockets fans, because Rockets fans, you get to deal with Melo now. Hate to harsh your Melo, but he's actually on your team. This is the Horn. Nice. Chad and Kevin. Getting a little funky on a Monday. What's up, Trey? Who's this?
This is St. Paul and the Broken Bones, which is a newer band, actually. This is a New Music Friday selection, and the song is Got It Bad. All one word, Got It Bad.
St. Paul and the Broken Bone?
Bones.
Bones. I like it. St. Paul.
New. It doesn't sound new.
And the Broken Bones. No, it doesn't.
I mean, that's a compliment.
Sounds like it was created in 1970-something.
It does.
It's some funk factory. I like that. All right. Hope you're having a great Monday. Got text rolling in, as always, on the Specs text line, 337-3776. This, I'm assuming referencing the DJ Durkin situation, says the stuff they were doing was inhumane. That's what they've got to figure out at Maryland. Did they cross the line from tough, hard football coaching and get these guys toughened up to just strange hazing rituals that went too far?
Some of them, like I said, I would say, yeah, went too far.
Yeah.
I mean, at least from what I read, if that's accurate, then yeah.
Yeah. Somebody says, is a Maryland reporter going to blame Tom Herman for the coach's mishandling of the situation? That has not happened yet.
If it was basketball, yes.
It was going to happen. thanks for the spoiler alert, guys, on Full Metal Jacket. Next, you're going to tell me Ferris does not get caught on his day off. I would never tell you that.
We're not. And no. Chad won't talk about that because that's another classic that he doesn't like.
I would never tell you about that.
The only thing Chad will say about that day off is, why didn't they wait a couple more, or either a day or a couple more days? Was that a Friday? Look, I forgot if it was a Friday or not.
Look, I'll admit part of my feelings about Ferris Bueller's day off is probably jealousy, because I could not take a day off ever. Even if I wanted to, I could not skip school.
You so never skip school?
No, I couldn't.
College, you took a day off, didn't you?
I missed two classes in college for a concert.
Oh my God.
For the same concert, actually. 1 week I missed the class to come see the Black Crowes, and they postponed it. And then I went back the next week when they actually had the show.
I like to see how many I could miss and still get an A. Or try.
It was. Or maybe it was Tom Petty and Black Crowes. It was like two, I think.
Well, that's worth it.
Yeah. That was worth it. Nah, no, it was worth
that's
it.
Worth it.
Yeah, exactly. No, so, it was a good concert.
And you used to have buddies at A&M. I don't think they have to do this now. Who would drive to Austin at night to eat and then drive home?
That's correct.
Dakota Magnolia?
They love the Magnolia pancakes.
I said that like Magnolia is not good. It's good, but I wouldn't drive an hour and a half for it.
No, it was, I mean, it was compared to what, I guess, all we had at the time was IHOP. Now there's got to be better pancakes in College Station.
I would think so.
Yeah. But back then, yeah, they would get a hankering for it, and they'd be out drinking stuff. It's 10, 10:30 or whatever. And
that's a good plan. We're out drinking. Let's go make that drive.
And they would just go to Austin, hit the Mag pancakes, and then come back and make – and this was like in an 8
and
or 9.
And talk crap about Austin and UT the whole way?
No, they loved
it. Man, this liberal place. Where are you driving?
Now, these guys were pretty cool.
Okay.
These guys were pretty cool on that
front.
I got
a feeling your Aggie crowd was pretty cool.
It's like, you know, there's –
there's a lot of kids there?
There's a lot of people there. Yeah, there's a lot of people there. The ones that would have just ripped on Austin, I didn't want to talk to them anyway because I was in the process of falling in love with Austin like they were.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You're just grown. That's what you are. You're grown.
I try.
Everything about you is grown, even your calves.
Especially that.
Especially your calves.
Especially that, yes. All right, let's get you a little big three. There's a couple things going on today.
Why can't we get ESPN on this TV?
I don't know.
I'm trying to help you out, man.
I know. I'd love to watch this game and tell people what's going on, but for some reason, they won't let it happen. So
it's like only this TV is blacking this game out.
Yeah, what is going
on? It's on every other TV. I'm not showing you this.
Mets and Yankees. Mets get on Mr. Severino early with a couple of runs in the top of the first. They're in the bottom of the first now. Yankees are trying to answer against DeGrom, so a great pitching matchup. 2-0 Mets early on there. Also, I'm not sure why I'm mentioning this. Yes, I do. The Braves just finished off the Marlins 9-1. Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, I bet.
And then Arizona and Texas tonight at 7:05 with Bartolo Colon on the hill. If you're an Astros fan, you're hurting coming off the weekend. A 4-game sweep at the hands of Seattle at home leaves the Astros only two and a half games up on Oakland and 4 games up on Seattle. This AL West is far from done. And now when we saw a moniker today, I mean, we saw a deal on the screen today on MLB Network asking the question of, hey, are the Astros in danger of missing the postseason? Still sounds like a silly question to me, Kevin, in August, but then they're only up 2.5.
I mean, they're only up 2.5. Now, they are up 4 on Seattle.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, yeah, it's still pretty tight. And one thing that is a little surprising, you know, the Yankees, as much as they've struggled and are completely out, they're out of the AL East, being 9.5 out. They got a better record than the Astros.
The Yankees do?
Yankees are 74 and 43. The Astros are 73 and 46.
I wouldn't have guessed that today.
I wouldn't have guessed that either, but Houston just has not been playing consistent ball. They still are plus 195 in differential. But
that's silly.
That's second to the Red Sox, who are 213. Boston and Cleveland would scare me more than Houston right now. Now, let's see if Altuve and Springer can get back, and if that happens, then Houston has as good as any shot of winning it, and most of those shots for me are in the American League.
And you just said it. I'll say it for Astros fans so they don't have to, because sometimes it sounds like you're making excuses. They have not only had injuries, they've had injuries to their heart and soul.
Yeah.
If they don't get this done, part of it's just baseball and it's hard to do, but if they can't get everybody back and that group healthy, that's going to be a huge part of it. They're losing just key, focused kind of guys. This is not some rando eighth guy in your lineup. These are the guys that really helped you get that title.
Yeah, it's Correa, it's Altuve, it's Springer. We know how important they are. And then some guys that just aren't producing like they were last year. And Marwin Gonzalez would be at the top of the list. Last year at this time, he was hitting about 80 points higher and was leading the club in ribbies. I still like the bullpen. Osuna's kind of finding his role. I think they're going to continue to use him in that eighth inning role. He got hit. Rondon, for the most part, they're pretty happy with. They got to get healthy, and they need to make sure that they get back to pitching the way they were. What really separated this team, the reason they got out to that big lead, yeah, the offense was okay, but if you remember most of the year, especially early on the offense, we kept on saying, well, once this offense really gets going and exploding, it was about the pitching.
Yeah. Houston fans, I hate to add to the bad news, but it is official today. Carmelo Anthony, it's our job to tell you, Carmelo Anthony is a Houston Rocket, 1 year, $2.4 mil, plus a big barrel of money from the whole Hawks trading him, getting rid of him, that whole thing.
This is breaking you up, isn't it?
16, I'm crushed.
I can tell.
Oh, as a Mavs fan, they're going to win the title now. I mean, it's automatic. Rockets win the title with Melo. It's going to break my heart.
Chad and I were talking about during the break the possibility of the Astros not making the playoffs, and he kind of looked at me and just had that little glimmer in your eye, like all Rangers fans do, that, you know what? That wouldn't kill me this year.
It would not crush
me. It would not crush
you. But I don't think it's going to happen. 16th year coming up for Melo. He's 34 years old. And the question for me, Kevin, is, I said it earlier, could he possibly? Because he'll never accept a role where you ask him to play D. We know that. Would he accept a role where he's not a starter, though? Would he accept coming off the bench, knowing a role, playing a role? Because he'll get to be himself on that second team, and he'll shoot way too much, and he won't pass. I get all that.
He'll be a vacuum.
He'll be Melo. But is it possible that D'Antoni could figure out a way to make it work in a secondary role for him?
It's possible. D'Antoni came out and said that this is a better fit than the fit for Carmelo in New York. But I think you hit the nail on the head. It's up to him and where his head is, where his attitude is. He needs a serious attitude adjustment. But I felt like that forever. I have not liked Carmelo's game probably since, I don't know, year one or two with Denver or the
right.
the 3 months he was in Syracuse.
So because we understand how much the NBA values its soap opera, you can't get any more soap opera-y than this. The last time Carmelo played for Mike D'Antoni, the report is that it ended because Carmelo went to the team and said, it's me or him.
Oh, yeah. No, that's been out for a long time.
And they fired D'Antoni.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to make sure we all understand that that is going to be the backdrop of this new version of Melo and D'Antoni. They'll get asked about it all the time.
Yeah, I just wonder if D'Antoni's really cool with this or if he kind of was pushed into this and said, all right, yeah, I'll be the bigger
right.
man.
Yeah, is he just going to do it because they're making him do it?
And I would think D'Antoni is even a bigger man and say, hey, I don't care if it's my arch enemy. If he's going to help us win games and is going to be a better fit for the team, then let's do it. I don't see that. He could, but he's going to have to completely, like you said, he's going to have to play defense. He's going to have to change who he is.
Yeah, and the other thing, I'll say this now.
Outside of that, there's a good chance.
Yeah, so I don't have to say it too much during the season, but the loss of a couple guys is key too.
Trevor Ariza.
The loss of Trevor's big. The loss of Umba Mute, I think, is going to end up being big. Now, keeping Capella is a big deal. That's big.
It is.
For them.
It's a big contract too.
Huge contract. Way too much money. But the fact that they kept him could be big. If they end up falling off, I don't know that it's all Melo's fault, but I don't think he's going to help them. So that's official today. Melo is a Rocket. We've also given Brooks Koepka his love and his girlfriend her love today. Miss Sims is getting some attention from the world today after hanging out at the 18th green. Koepka is the fifth player to win the U.S. Open and the PGA in the same year. Saracen did it in 1922. Then Ben Hogan did it in 48. Then it wasn't until 1980 that Jack Nicklaus did it. Tiger did it in 2000. That's serious stuff. What I love for golf right now is all of it coming together. You have somebody that can pull anybody in, Tiger Woods, playing like that. We all have the feeling now after this weekend. You can say you don't think he's going to win number 15. Don't tell me after yesterday.
That he can't.
Right. Don't tell me he can't after yesterday, right? You got that. You always have the danger of Phil being Phil. Who knows what he can do? But these young guys, the historic stuff that Rory McIlroy's already done, the history that Jordan Spieth has already thrown at us, and now a guy like Brooks Koepka, who a couple years ago was like, hey, it was this kid. I think he went to Florida State. Now he's putting up something like that where doing something Arnold Palmer never did, doing something Spieth hasn't done. That's good, serious stuff. So I love the health of golf right now with the young guys, but you've also got this great story with Tiger.
It seems extremely healthy and white, but it does.
How dare you?
Just the visuals yesterday. But yeah.
I wasn't getting that.
But it does seem, well, at least it was 99% white people cheering for a black guy. I mean, that's better off in society than I feel like where we have been. So I took that as a thumbs up. But yeah, I think it's also really healthy too. And talking to true golf people, they think it's healthy. You've got the young guns. You kind of add, seems like we've added one or two to that list where that's a pretty big group now.
Justin Thomas?
You start going through it. Right. Ricky Fowler, can we throw him in there?
Sure, and he's the guy that needs to win a major.
Who's the chubby guy who everyone hates?
The young
Patrick
guy.
Patrick Reed.
Who, right? We've got the Masters thing. Good villain. I like him.
And then we've got possibly the best of all time, who's making this comeback. Some of it was on the course. Some of it was off the course. Probably started off the course, and then it goes on the course. And the fact that he seems to really be enjoying it, that's what we all wanted. And I said this a couple months ago, that my worry as a very far away golf fan, that when I'm watching, that's usually when the needle's moving like it was.
Yep.
At least watching as much as I did and taping and going over it, that the worry was that we may never get that. That Tiger and Phil are going to be gone, and it's just going to be this era. But there's nothing better than, and it's one thing we get with golf, we don't get with a lot of other sports, generations going at each other.
Yeah.
Bartolo Colon facing Juan Soto.
Right. Not many sports can do that.
Not many can. Basketball can't anymore, obviously. Football kind of can, but it's really that sport and sometimes baseball.
All right. We'll get you a little one and done coming up here. Before that, Kevin's going to tell you all about LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn is a great spot if you are looking to hire. LinkedIn has been helping people out. In fact, we've gotten some really good feedback from people that have used LinkedIn here on the station. And they pretty much tell us what we're telling you, that you got 70% of the U.S. workforce that is there. So you know you've got a huge pool. I'm going to go and call that an ocean. If 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, they go there for different things. Some go there to grow professionally. Some just go to hang out. And some go to look for new jobs. But the great thing about it is LinkedIn jobs will intelligently target potential candidates based on some of the things they have, based on some of the information they have. They have a rich data profile that is going to show skills, recommendations, interests. It's going to show some things you'd find on a resume, but a lot that you wouldn't find on a resume. And heck, it's just going to find this person. There's a new hire made every 10 seconds on LinkedIn. Talk about finding these people. 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new jobs, yet most don't visit job boards. So the way to reach them, the way to even know they exist, is getting to LinkedIn. We're going to help you out too. LinkedIn.com/HornFM. If you go there, you get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/HornFM. $50 off. We've had a really good response with this. And I'm not really surprised. You're dealing with traffic right now, probably. A lot of talented people are moving into Austin. Find out where they are. Find out who they are at LinkedIn.com/HornFM.
All right, it's time for your second one and done of the show. One and done, kids. Here we go.
Peter liked to be
hit hard
with me.
Done.
What did I hear about dolphins over the weekend that blew my mind? They can, Trey, you're right. They can be a little more prickish than I think as a kid I thought. You know, I just thought dolphins were, you know, it's like anything you hear. Unfortunately, I'm hearing this on the news too often now by adults. Good guy and bad guy. 100% both ways, like G.I. Joe. I thought dolphins were just 100% good guys.
They are, for the most part, close. Yeah, I like the stories when I hear about, like, groups of dolphins leading ships away from, you know, jagged rocks and stuff like that. Those stories amaze me.
Really?
Yeah, like a group of dolphins that would, like, lead a ship away from trouble. Apparently that's happened before.
Okay, and I knew that way back in the day, if there were shipwrecks and people were stuck out there, dolphins were smart enough to understand that, one, you're screwed out there, but they would also ride you back. You could ride them back in.
Right, see, that's,
and
yeah,
they were smart enough to stay to the top of the really close top of the water and to come back up more frequently than they would have to, because they understand that we have to breathe and that we can't hold our breath as long as they can. They're bright, man.
Yeah, that's remarkable. If that is all going on in their brain, that's incredible.
Drop you off around the third sandbar, and then at that point, I'm okay. We'll see if you guys can get on in.
Did they bring me a Gatorade?
Did they bring you a Gatorade?
Because that'd be really cool.
Third sandbar.
One and done brought to you by Texas Card House, Austin's premier poker club, featuring tournaments and cash games 7 days a week, starting at noon. Yes, noon. Now with Rudy's catered in on Saturdays. Go to texascardhouse.com. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Okay, I've gotten a lot of texts and tweets about the Astros. Don't flip out. I wouldn't flip out if you're an Astros fan. Primarily because there's nothing you can do. You guys are screwed. I just wouldn't flip out. No. You're not. You guys are fine. I think you have as good a shot as anyone. If you thought you were going to be this heavy favorite, and then you guys know baseball well enough. There really never is a heavy favorite. But this is a different team than last year. I mean, the offense is not the same. And I've mentioned some of the guys that really haven't been able to step up. Josh Reddick has been up and down. Marwin Gonzalez, though, is the number one guy I look at that just has not been the same. He's still been the Swiss Army knife, but hitting .240, and that's gone up the last couple of weeks compared to what he did last year. You have to really recognize that was a career year for him last year. You got to get Correa back and going. He's back in the lineup now. You have to get Altuve back. You don't want to press it, though. You want to make sure that knee is as healthy as it can be for what is hopefully a playoff run. The guy you got to get back is George Springer. And Springer's been up and down this year, Chad, but he leads it off. He starts it for them. There is an energy to him. And when Springer's going and gets that thing going, that whole place sounds different. I was listening to watching the game on TBS yesterday or Saturday, and they were even talking about it, how dead that place was. I'm not getting on the Astros fans. Those are fans being fans. And even the announcer said, well, they're waiting for something. And I feel like we've been waiting for that Astros offense to get going, get everyone healthy. If Jeff can add a bat, I think that would be big. I do think there are some bats that maybe in a month could be available that maybe could slip through the waivers. Continue to stay active with helping the offense. But the real help and the real answer is get them back. Get your guys back.
The game that I got to see earlier in the season live, he was playing. Altuve was still there. Correa was out at the time. But, yeah, the energy he provides. He made a couple plays in center field, which added more energy. But, yeah, him with the bat in his hand, something, it just feels like something's always going
to
happen.
It does, yeah. He has an energetic feel to him.
Yeah.
Speed, power.
Yeah, everything, you're right. Everything about him provides them with all kinds of energy. Yeah, 2.5 games the lead right now for the Astros over Oakland and 4 games on Seattle. We'll see what happens. By the way, speaking of Houston, another real quick comment on the Carmelo thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mike D'Antoni has let us know that he feels like Melo's a better fit with the Rockets than he was with the Knicks.
Really?
So congratulations
almost,
to
like
the
someone
coach.
Someone said that 5 minutes ago.
So, yes. I'm sorry if you brought that up.
I'm sorry. It's all good, dude.
My bad. But, that's wow. Wow.
Well, and like I said, I mean, that may be the case, but it's all going to get back to where is Carmelo? I would love to know what Carmelo's real attitude is about this walking in the doors. Because if he right. has said, okay, you know what? I'm going to try and be as Team USA Melo as I can be.
That would help.
But outside of Paul and Harden, I'm not sure he respects the other guys on that Rockets club deep down as much as he respects 12 of the best players in the world plus him.
Yeah, that's true. That's like a guy telling me, my second marriage is going to be better than my first. Well, your first ended with her driving your car off a cliff.
Right.
Like, she literally blew your car up. I know what I'm saying. This is going to be better than that.
I do like when that guy tells me that when he's standing next to his first wife, who he's still married to.
No, that's not good. Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, no, that's true. This is the marriage coming
the
back
marriage
together.
Coming back.
They're being
right.
forced back together. Yes, Trey, breaking news. What else did I not hear Kevin say?
Yes, guys, now that the move is official, Mike D'Antoni has come out to make mention of Carmelo Anthony. He says Carmelo Anthony
he can't even get
is
it out,
better
dude.
Fit with the Rockets than the Knicks.
He can't even get it out.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
see, there
Lord.
You go. I interrupted you mid-joke. I guessed your joke before you finished it. My apologies.
So you're not listening to me and you're reading his mind.
Exactly. That is what's going on. That's what I meant to say was, great point, Kevin.
That's it.
And I'm going to make it again.
No, we all do it. I love it. And you got a 4-hour show. It's going to happen. But I love, and like I said, we all do it. But I love whenever the person that's about to make that point goes, and you're not going to believe this one.
Yeah, right.
Harry Easton farted on. Yeah, we just talked about that. We just talked about the offensive line coach for the Bears farting on Mike McCaskey. And we have it on video. We talked about that for 5 minutes, Chad.
I was rather proud of myself.
Oh, you're so proud of it, man. You go, because, and this one.
Because I had this stupid little marriage joke in my head, and I got to say it out loud, and it was going to be funny, and then it
did. Yeah. I should have swallowed that.
No, you should
have. I really should have.
No.
I should have. Well, the problem is, you know, I just saved you 20 texts.
Yeah, you
did.
Exactly. Please, don't ever let that happen because I don't want to have to read all those texts. All right, coming up, we'll get you one last thing, a little preview of tomorrow. Today, we hit the Pac-12 in our Horn Top 20, and we're not moving tomorrow. We'll stay out west. We'll tell you which team it is coming up on the Horn. Is this more Broken Bones?
St. Paul and the Broken Bones, yes.
I like it. St. Paul and the Broken Bones. This just in. Mike D'Antoni says... No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so...
Oh, Lord.
I love when we get great texts, but I kind of love it even more when we get a text we're not supposed to get.
Okay.
Somebody mistakenly sent us this. Send mom car pic, Ryan after granddad, he said.
We got a couple...
And then they said, oops, wrong text.
We got a couple on Friday, and one started to go down a road of...
Sexy time?
We're about 10 minutes away from D-Pics, probably.
Nice.
Which luckily we can't get here.
Wow.
Which means we can't get boob pics either.
Yeah.
I don't think they send those as much. Apparently guys are sending a lot of those.
Yeah, that's never been me.
No.
No, I would be so ill-equipped to,
I'd be worried
to
about,
date in this era with all the technology. I'd be really bad at it.
I would never get the angle right. I would never think I have the angle perfect.
I'd take 50 different versions. I wouldn't be happy with it. I'd put filters.
How do I put the filter on there?
Where's the big filter? Do they have a big... How do we filter that? How do we make... Also, Kevin, we have a text in from a Brian...
Wide lens.
...that listens to the show.
Okay.
Brian is in a really good mood today. I'm assuming he's a Texas Longhorn football fan.
You don't know that. He could be an objective football fan.
He could be, but if I'm seeing this correctly, he is predicting 12-0 for the Longhorns. 38 of all scores. We got them all. 38-17 over Maryland, 45-10 over Tulsa. USC they beat by 10, 31-21. 24-21 over TCU, 27-20 at K-State.
Hey, at least he's being realistic with the TCU K-State games, right? I mean, he's being realistic with all these scores.
Right, scores, yeah, absolutely.
These scores could happen.
Yeah, 34-27, they beat OU. Texas beats Baylor 42-20. Oklahoma State 34-31. 42-35 over West Virginia. 38-24 over Tech. 45-24 over Iowa State. 42-10 at Kansas. 12-0, says Brian. Says, I believe the offense will find themselves, no kidding, and the D will be a lot better than we think, especially the D-line. Thoughts?
I think the D-line will be better, and I have been under this thought that I think the defense is going to be good. I'm starting to get a little worried about Jimmy and Joe's at the linebacker level. I want to make sure this team is as healthy as they can be heading into the year. Defensively, I think they're going to be good. Offensively, I think they're going to be better, not 12-0 better. But Brian, God, I hope you're right and I'm wrong. If you're right, you can come. You can come co-host the show one day.
Brian, I think you're being too hard on Texas. How is it only 24-21 against TCU?
Oh, shut up.
I mean, come on.
Will you let us do our deal?
Let's go
please.
Let's go one last thing here.
One last thing.
You know, guys, you take that 5-6, 91 thing. Six plays. No.
All right, so tomorrow we're going to stay in the Pac-12 and talk USC. Tomorrow at 5:05, Ryan Abraham of USCfootball.com will join us to talk USC. Clearly, it's a team on the Longhorn schedule. It's also number 14 in our Horn Top 20, so listen to your USC talk all day tomorrow on all the shows.
And we got to play that sounder four times tomorrow, maybe if not more.
Oh, because you
Hot Palm Girls.
That's some. Oh, my God. That is a good. Now, that's college football right there.
Them's grown women, Chad. And girls.
They grow them different out there in Southern California, boys.
Well, they got so much to choose from.
Yes, they do. Have a great Monday.
Nah, get Chuck and Joaquin.